FM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations at high-profile universities and colleges has led to some arrests, along with anti-Semitic protests, raising the security concerns for Jewish students. ABC's Stephanie Ramos has more.
Columbia University offering virtual learning for the last week of classes after some Jewish students said they felt unsafe on campus, like Aiden Hunter, who tells us he understands why people are protesting.
I'd say the majority of my friends, especially Jewish friends, feel a sense of insecurity at this time.
Mayor Eric Adams blaming outside agitators for a violent turn in campus protests.
Today, GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson will meet with Jewish students at Columbia University. President Biden signing a massive foreign aid package with funding to help Palestinians in Gaza, along with military aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. It also includes a measure giving TikTok's China-owned company a year to sell to the U.S. or face a ban in the U.S. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's U.S. senators are splitting their votes on the foreign aid package to send $95 billion more aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Democrat Tammy Baldwin tells the Journal Sentinel that conditions and safeguards in the package allay her concerns about sending weapons to Israel. Ron Johnson says he voted against it for a lack of meaningful reforms on the U.S. southern border. Wisconsin schools are turning to restraints and seclusion less often. The Department of Public Instruction says cases were down about 8% last school year. Tim Pirenboom is a DPI psychologist.
It's only supposed to be used as a last resort when the student's behavior presents a clear, present, imminent risk to physical safety.
The report says most schools reported zero cases last school year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WMDX Madison. A man is charged with killing his ex-girlfriend on a bike trail in Janesville last week. Logan Barclay appeared in court Monday. Barclay tells police he took Kirsten Hansen on a walk and they argued about the possibility Hansen might be pregnant. The criminal complaint said he told investigators he snapped and shot Hansen and left her to die. Two people say they found Hansen's body on the Peace Trail along the Rock River. Online retail giant Amazon is now delivering groceries to homes in the Madison area. The subscription service for Prime members costs about $10 a month and about half that for people on public assistance. The subscription comes with unlimited delivery on orders over $35 from Whole Foods, Amazon Fresh, and some other local stores. Amazon first started delivering groceries to Prime members in Columbus, Ohio, Denver, and Sacramento late last year. And that's what you need to know. This is WMDX News.
The Bucks lose game two to Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks got out to another early lead, but the Pacers battled back to win 125-108 to even the series at one game apiece. The Pacers defensively got nasty at times. Damian Lillard.
I mean, I think that's natural in the playoffs. Somebody comes in, you lose a game, you got a couple days to sit with it. You probably have practice and film. The coaches get on your ass about it. It's an emphasis, you know, to make these adjustments and to come out and make these changes. You know, this is what you got to do to try to win the game. So I think it was a little bit of that.
The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton, who grew up in Oshkosh, says his brother was called the N-word by someone at Sunday's game. Game three is Friday in Indianapolis, and he says he's looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be unbelievable. No doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games.
Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Pirates 2-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A super sunny day with highs in the 50s. It may be a touch cooler out there, but those winds are calm. With a high pressure system overhead, we stay bright and beautiful tomorrow too, with highs climbing to the 60s. Soak it up because we have a wet weekend ahead. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio and artist, actor, comedian Steve Segrin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommer, is on the board. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite.
Pump day!
At least mostly. Todd's a little hot today, I'll admit that. I'll try to breathe a little
bit. Justifiably.
Yes. We're going to talk more about this issue at Richland County with County Board Chair David Turk in just a moment. But first of all, want to start out this second hour on the big show wishing my youngest niece, Isabel, a very happy birthday. 17 years old today. That's right. Up there in beautiful Eau Claire in the Chippewa Valley. Saw her this weekend. Mom and I went up, saw the family. Celebrated with Isabel and the family up there. So happy birthday, Izzy, on your 17th. And also, a very happy birthday, speaking of Richland and Grant County and Iowa County, Betty Hayes Baxter, the founder and still head teacher of the Betty Hayes School of Dance, and now the world record holder for longest teacher in dance in the world. Betty Hayes Baxter is celebrating a birthday. I believe it's 55.
I think that sounds about right. It might be 56. I don't know.
Happy birthday to both of them. I'm in this virtual dance class with her and her daughter, Cheryl Baxter. And we all sang happy birthday to Betty. She's doing fantastic and preparing for her recital coming up in June. And Todd may or may not make an appearance. So to Isabel Galloy and Betty Hayes Baxter, happy birthday to you, to each and every one. We appreciate and love them both. We're gonna dive into this issue today, a little deeper on one issue than we normally do, but it is important. Because last night I was out at Muscatine, beautiful little village of Muscatine, just south of Richland County in southwest Wisconsin, along the banks of the Wisconsin River, and two courageous legislators, Senator Kelda Royce and Representative Katrina Shanklin, Democrats both, came out to southwest Wisconsin. They both sit on their respective houses' higher ed committees overseeing the University of Wisconsin system. And they held a public forum last night. About 100 people there. Room was packed. Took questions for an hour. Answered them, by the way, truthfully and thoughtfully, on UW system. Specifically, the closure of the two-year campus at Richland Center. And kind of economically, how can the county be helped and recover from that and move forward? But also on the larger issue of the two-year college system. We are now up to 5 of the 13 two-year colleges have been closed. And remember, the last one, Waukesha, to be closed, has the second highest enrollment of the 2 years, behind only UW-Rock, which is like 50 students less. And again, at Waukesha, Jay Rothman, president of the system, said that it was due in large part to enrollment decline. Well, if your second highest enrolling two-year college is being closed, we could assume the rest are going to be closed too. Now, that's, to be fair, that's an assumption on Todd's part based on experience and what I know. So it comes as a particular slap in the face when my colleague Joanne Krulatz, news director at WRCO, WRCE, who was not only there late at night covering this meeting, but was still working well into the late evening, and forwarded me an email from the Richland County Administrator's Office, a press release saying this: Richland County is dismayed and disheartened to share the correspondence received from the University of Wisconsin today. Despite ongoing attempts to negotiate a mutually agreeable end to our partnership, the University of Wisconsin has made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the Richland County campus by July 1st, 2024, with no compensation or settlement agreement in place, unquote. And attached is a two-page letter, not from President Rothman, but his flack, Jeff Barrant, Vice President of University Relations, saying that they're basically, they set a timetable here, we're basically going to come in and just pick the bones for a couple of months and then turn the keys over to you with no financial compensation. We're going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by one of the two fine legislators who held this forum last night. Senator Keldo Royce will join us after the bottom of the hour at 1:33. But right now, joining us live via phone from Richland County, Wisconsin, the newly elected chairman of the Richland County Board, David Turk. Chairman Turk, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
It is an absolute pleasure. And in full disclosure, David and I have known each other for quite a while. As a matter of fact, he helped train me in radio back in the day when we were both in high school. And, you know, if I'm any good at all, it's thanks to Dave Turk's fine training in the radio world. So, Dave, it's a pleasure to catch up. I just want to be upfront with people that we do know each other. But you have been on the county board now how long, and how long have you been chairman?
I'm just starting my seventh term on the county board. I have gone from when I was initially elected being the youngest person on the board, and not by a small margin, to now I am the longest serving member on the board.
Wow.
And this is my first term as chair starting just a week ago Tuesday. So,
quite an initiation by metaphysical fire, as they say, stepping into this. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess I was just taken aback, Dave, last night when I got home and Joanne Krulatz at RCO, RCE sent me this release. It sounds like from your county administrator's office that you and the administrator and the county board were taken aback and caught off guard by this sudden cutoff of negotiations with the Universities of Wisconsin.
We were stunned by the announcement, to say the least. It was very much a shock to us that to be basically notified, okay, we're giving up and walking away. We had been attempting to negotiate. I won't say we made a lot of progress, but we were trying to talk in good faith, and they had been, shall we say, minimally responsive over the last few months, and we weren't quite sure how to interpret that. Well, now I guess we have our answer.
And we've been following this story since it broke over a year and a half ago. And I know that former vice chair of the Richland County Board, Sean Murphy Lopez, as well as I know she was the chair of the Education Committee, Supervisor Linda Gentis, have been doing yeoman's work in trying to negotiate with the system, as you say, in good faith. And this seems to be the culmination, Chairman Turk, of, again, this pattern of local folks in Richland County saying, hey, how can we work together? Hey, how can we find a solution? And it appears to somebody who no longer lives there full time that the system was negotiating in bad faith. Is that a correct characterization, Dave?
It's certainly a reasonable conclusion to come to given the facts. The campus had been a fixture in our community for over half a century. You and I both attended there, right?
Yes.
So, it had an undeniable impact on many people's lives, and there is widespread support in the community for the idea. But when it was first announced that actions were being contemplated, many people brought forth ideas, brought forth suggestions, offered support to try to, reignite the interest in the campus. Yes, enrollment numbers were down. That's an indisputable fact. But there were lots of ideas about things we could do, and limited embrace of some of those ideas. Then we had the stunning announcement, which caught us by surprise, that they were ceasing in-person instruction at the campus. So this is now the second time we've been blindsided by a letter or press release with no advance notice that there was a sudden change in their status.
It just appears to me, we're talking with David Turk, chairman of the Richland County Board out in southwest Wisconsin, on this sudden announcement by UW System, they now go by Universities of Wisconsin, that they're cutting off negotiations with the county. And Chairman Turk, explain to folks the importance of this, because I know that there is this $2 million that's been allocated for communities that go through this. We're now up to five, unfortunately. But explain why this $2 million is really just a pittance to compensate any county, particularly a rural county like Richland.
Well, the $2 million was suggested by the recent action of the legislature and signed by the governor is to specifically help redevelop the facility and you know move it forward in a community-enhancing purpose. It is not to compensate the county for losses that we are likely to incur, and certainly is nowhere near offsetting the economic impact of, you know, what UW at the time, UW Richland had when it was a thriving campus. We know that its impact has diminished over time, but at one time you're talking maybe $8 to $10 million a year. It's probably, you know, less than that with fewer students on there, but still, you know, multi-million dollars per year of economic impact to the community in the greater Richland County area. And so the sudden discontinuance of that, the economic impact is one factor. The direct impacts of the county now having to assume, you know, paying all the utilities and taking care of all the day-to-day maintenance of the facility is another separate thing. And, you know, that's what we were trying to, when it became apparent that UW was not going to continue instruction at the campus, we were negotiating to try to figure out a mutually agreeable conclusion to the partnership. We understand that you're not looking to continue here. How can we make it so that it's not a huge negative impact on the county, but yet you get the freedom you're seeking? Now it's just, okay, as of July 1st, we're out of there.
Yeah. And for those people that might not be aware, these agreements, these long-term leases are between the county and the UW system, where the county kind of owns the buildings and the land, and they share maintenance. Am I correct, Dave? And then the system provides the instruction and the books and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the county's responsible for capital maintenance and the UW system and paying all the utilities day-to-day and taking care of janitorial duties and lawn mowing and, you know, day-to-day maintenance, operational right. types of maintenance. So that they have indicated to us will cease. They're only doing limited maintenance through June 30th, and as of July 1st, it's all going to have to be taken care of by the county.
I'm coming up on a break here, David. Can you stay with us about five, six more minutes? Does your time allow for that?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, sounds good. We'll continue on. Before we got about a minute, Dave, before the break here, look, you know, I've been critical of the governor for not getting involved. I've been critical of Senator Markline and Senator Kurtz for not being more involved. You know, I'm not trying to make this partisan directly, but just as the county board chair, as a longtime member of the county board, until, you know, Senator Royce and Representative Shanklin had this meeting, have you heard from other elected officials? I don't care what party, but is anybody else reaching out from the legislature or the administration to help out?
We have heard from our local elected officials, the ones who represent this area, Senator Markline, Representative Kurtz, and others joining. Obviously, the package of assistance that came through, Markline and Kurtz had a big role in getting that pushed through. So there have been efforts. There has been recognition. We are starting to, you know, make connections with basically anybody we can talk to now at this point to see if we can figure out what the best path is for us to move forward.
We're talking with Richland County Board Chairman David Turk. We'll come back to continue our discussion and stay tuned for Senator Kelderoyce on the way after the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. At least we try most days. Today, not so much, but we still try to keep a lightness of heart. Dave Turk with us right now, the county board chairman from Richland County, Wisconsin, talking about this news. First of all, a forum being held last night by Senator Senator Kelda Royce and also Representative Katrina Shanklin down in Muscogee last night. And while that public hearing was going on, the University of Wisconsin system, now goes by Universities of Wisconsin, informed Richland County they were cutting off negotiations and pulling out, a unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st with no compensation or settlement agreement in place. Chairman Turk, I want to go back again to legislators and what they have done. And I get that Howard Markline and Representative Kurtz, Senator and Representative, respectfully, have helped get this $2 million in help, they're calling it, which is fine. That's fine. But what concerns me is when I was out last year at one of these public meetings, a listening session, what they called it, and I had witnesses around me, people that you and I both know, and I asked both Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz, could you put in something that was called a 999, which is known as the final motion in the Joint Finance Committee, where everybody gets a shot to put in whatever you want. And I said, just do a 999. And Kurtz looked at me like, how do you know that? I said, because I used to work for Dale Schultz. He was on the Joint Finance Committee. And both he and Howard said, we don't do that anymore. And Tony Kurtz said, well, there's just no money. Just no money. And yet, at the final day of the Joint Finance Committee, they in fact did do a 999. There was $3 million put into the budget for Washington County, which Markline and Kurtz supported. It got vetoed out by Governor Evers. But it frustrates me, Dave, when it appears, and not appears, I'll say it, my words, not yours, Tony Kurtz lied to me. And I don't know why local people aren't you look back in history, you know this better as well as I do. You had Republicans and Democrats from Southwest Wisconsin supporting that campus. Why don't we have that today?
That I couldn't answer for you. You'd have to talk to the legislators in particular to get their own personal perspectives on why they choose or choose not to support anything. It certainly isn't because of any lack of public support from the population, because we've felt that through this whole process, that the people are very much interested in seeing these institutions preserved. But now we have eyes on us, obviously, from other counties who are going to be going through similar experiences, and counties whose experience like this haven't started yet, but can probably guess that their turn is coming.
So looking ahead, Dave Turk, Chairman of the Richland County Board, looking ahead, what is next for Richland County in terms of what can be done with this land, these buildings? I know you're saying that everything's on the table. What's the reality, or what's the possibility, that Richland County could file a lawsuit against UW System and others to try to force them back to the table?
Legal action is possible. I couldn't comment on how likely it could be to succeed. Certainly we're working with our council to explore our options in that regard. So at this point, I can't say anything with certainty, but that is something we would definitely consider. We felt, we've got this agreement in place with the Universities of Wisconsin. This should hold some weight. And so if you can just unilaterally say, no, I'm breaking this agreement, well, what value is the agreement? So I think that's an issue that will probably need to be addressed in some way. Don't know exactly how. We also have the practical matters of, okay, we've got to figure out that if this does hold up, the reality that it's going to be in our hands July 1st. So what do we do? And those are the other avenues we're pursuing right now, is to try to prepare as best we can. We already had underway, before this announcement, contract with an organization to do a facilities assessment, not just of the campus property, but primarily of that, to give us a better idea of what specific conditions of the buildings and grounds are, what specific issues need to be dealt with, how viable is it for any or all of the buildings to be reused for an educational purpose or for a different purpose. So that's something we had in Mosin. Certainly that becomes even more important now given this new timeline expectation.
We're going to finish up the show later on this next half hour, David, with words from Tim Cullen, former Democratic Senate leader who wrote a book called Disassembled about the end of the GM plant in Janesville. And the similarities are eerie. As a county board supervisor for seven terms and now the chair, what advice would you give to people in Marathon County, in Barron County, and around the state who could face similar things? What advice would you give them to try to head this off from happening in their county?
Oh, gosh, that's difficult because I have struggled to determine if I could believe it could be headed off because when this first started, there were skeptical folks who tried to tell us, oh, you know, they've already made their decision. You're wasting your time negotiating with them. Given the most recent happening, it's hard to argue with what those folks were saying. I don't know. I am not optimistic that the universities has Richland County's best interests at heart, to say the least. So for any other locations where, you know, you've got a two-year campus, maybe even a four-year campus, I don't know, I would say it's time to start talking about it, you know, within your realm of influence now and coming up with your plans for future contingencies, whether that's a plan A of saving it or a plan B of coming up with how we're going to deal with it if or when it happens that it closes.
Yeah. Dave Turk, anything else I didn't ask you you'd like to comment on?
No, just we thank you so much for the opportunity, and it's good to connect with an old friend and colleague, and certainly something I wish we weren't talking about, but it's important for everybody to know what's going on.
Chairman of the Richland County Board, David Turk, we'll have you back on with in happier times. We'll reminisce about those weekend evenings at WRCO back in the day. David, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time for us on short notice, and we wish you all the best. We're here to support you.
I'll look forward to talking to you again sometime, Todd. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dave Turk from Richland County. I think it's good to hear from local folks, people who are elected officials who are getting it done. Let's go quickly to Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, about a minute and a half left. I know you want to get something in here about government transparency. Make it quick if you can, my friend.
Yeah, it's surprising that the person you're talking to was surprised you knew about what 999 was, that he sort of recognized your name from back in the old days. But the point I'd make is that citizens should know what kind of machinations goes on in the budget process. And maybe there should be a little bit more transparency, just how all these things operate, so these things aren't just coming out of the dark and all of a sudden gobsmacking people upside the head that this stuff is happening, because it's just sad in a time when we have a budgetary surplus the way we do, mm-hmm. that any of these campuses are closing. They couldn't come up with another solution to keep these campuses open, and and rather than yanking away the economic benefits of these campuses offered to the communities that they're in.
Yeah, really, I appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you so much. As a person that worked in state government before, I mean, it is about transparency. And I think that's what really riled me up today, is that once again, the pattern for the University of Wisconsin system is not to reach out, have a phone call with the county board chair, not to drive out there and sit down and look at people face to face, not even to write your own letter if you're president of the UW system, Jay Rothman, but to have one of your staffers do it. Jeff Barant, being paid $202,000 plus a year of taxpayer money to simply say, you're on your own. You have 2 months to get your stuff out, and then we're turning everything over to you. You figure it out. We're going to talk with someone who's actually trying to get to real solutions. Someone who is doing the right thing. Someone who is meeting with the public. She is Senator Kelda Royce. Back with her live on the other side, just the All Votes Show for a Wednesday. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Officials from the village of Alloway are urging state officials to close the Green Bay State Prison. They came to Madison yesterday to make their case. State Representative David Steffen points out the Green Bay Prison is 126 years old and overcrowded. Local officials say the prison is a danger to the safety of the surrounding community. Cash loans on smartphone apps can land a person even deeper in debt. Lucia Constantine of the Center for Responsible Lending says there are better options.
I would recommend reaching out to their credit union or banking institution to see if they can get some sort of small dollar loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WMDX Madison. The trial is underway for a man accused of killing a toddler on Madison's west side 2 years ago. Marshawn Guile faces 18 charges, including 8 felonies ranging from first-degree homicide to child sexual assault. The medical examiner says the baby girl died from blunt force injuries to her head, torso, arms, and legs. Guile is also accused of abusing other children in the household as far back as 2018. SSM Health, St. Mary's Hospital in Madison, is starting a program that gives some patients care at home after a hospital stay when they used to have to go to a nursing home. It's part of a new partnership with Inbound Health, which provides in-home post-hospital care. SSM Health says the program aims to ease overcrowding at hospitals and nursing homes. The program offers home infusion, lab and imaging services, and medical equipment. And that's what you need to know. This is WMDX News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction celebrated its 30th anniversary last weekend in Hollywood. Gathering for the celebration were cast members Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Harvey Keitel, and John Travolta. The event was held at Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard and was part of the TMC Classic Film Festival. The film was released in 1994 and was the follow-up to Tarantino's first film, Reservoir Dogs. Anne Hathaway recently talked about making out with several different actors in front of casting directors to see if there was chemistry. Hathaway said she went along with the antiquated practice in the early 2000s because she didn't want to be considered difficult. She said it was really awkward when the producers made it seem like she should be excited to make out with so many different guys in front of them. Hathaway produced and stars in the new film, The Idea of You, which will be released May 2nd and only makes out with people she wants to these days. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A super sunny day with highs in the 50s. It may be a touch cooler out there, but those winds are calm. With a high pressure system overhead, we stay bright and beautiful tomorrow too, with highs climbing to the 60s. Soak it up because we have a wet weekend ahead. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Hey Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Dom and Crude and you make it the greatest radio show ever. Dom returns to the airwaves Wednesday. No court for Trump, but plenty of politics. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Because baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Because baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, now we got wrong.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. Taylor Swift there singing it fine and joining us, a Swiftie by self-acclamation, none other than Senator, State Senator Kelda Royce, who represents the University of Wisconsin-Madison, amongst other great parts of the capital city here in South Central Wisconsin. Senator Royce, thank you so much for taking the time on short notice to join us live from your office at the state capitol. And thank you so much for taking the time, you and Representative Katrina Shanklin, for coming out to Southwest Wisconsin. I was there at the Village Hall in Muscogee last night. It was packed. And in its essence, that to me is representative government.
Well, it was a privilege to be there and always appreciate the chance to talk with you.
Well, thank you so very much. And you're a Swiftie. How about that, right?
Yeah, thanks to my kids. I'm like just on the older end, but they got me into it.
I'm older than you, and I'm a Swiftie. Who doesn't? If you don't like Taylor Swift, my goodness, what's wrong with you, right?
Yeah, you need a smile on your face.
100% agree with that. I want to get to the breaking news overnight, which there's not a lot to smile about. And it just seemed beyond ironic or coincidental. That's my take on it. But after this great forum that you and Representative Shanklin heard last night, and to be clear, there were both Republicans and Democrats in the room. I thought it was a discourse that was not mean to each other. There were certainly some differences of opinion. But one of the things I really appreciated about you, Representative Shanklin, even when you might have had a question that was from someone from the other side of the aisle, perhaps, you're the one, I believe, that said, let's just take this question at face value. And you answered it. You didn't shy away.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you can't handle a question from someone who disagrees with you, you should get out of politics. Right. Really. I mean, I don't know how you expect, you know, how we're going to protect this democracy where we live in an ideological diverse country of 300 million people if you can't listen and treat somebody with respect even when they disagree with you. Yeah. And, you know, especially people that are lucky enough to be in a position of political power.
So as that forum was going on, the University of Wisconsin, more commonly known as the UW System, Jeff Brandt, Vice President of University Relations, sends this letter to Chairman of the Richland County Board, David Turk. And to kind of summarize it in Richland County's press release, UW System notified, and according to the county board chair, they had no heads up that after months of trying to negotiate on a mutually agreeable end to the partnership between UW System and the county, System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year with no compensation or settlement agreement in place. Senator Royce, I know there's been this $2 million set aside for communities that go through closure. You know as well as anyone else, the economic impact on a place like Richland County is $6 to $7 million annually for Richland County. $2 million doesn't get those locals who are already financially constrained in a rural area. How do you redevelop this area if you're Richland County?
I mean, I think that's a huge challenge. I mean, there's obviously the physical infrastructure, right? That's going to be empty. And we heard last night, you know, that events that have been long planned and that have been ongoing for years are being denied access to use those buildings, even though they're publicly owned. You know, so there's that piece of it. But then there's also the huge economic impact of those people who have been laid off, that have lost their job. And there's the long-term impact, which is losing that pathway to career advancement, to higher education, is devastating, not just for that city, that village, but for the entire region. And so, I mean, this is a huge problem for the state as a whole, figuring out how we can prevent closures, because, you know, the closure is the worst thing that can happen. And it's so short-sighted, you know, to think, okay, well, you know, it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. To me, that is absolutely the wrong way of looking at it. You know, a smart business owner would say, now is the time to invest. Let's invest. Let's make sure we build our capacity. Let's make sure we're doing marketing so that we can get people in the door, because we know that every person that comes through the door, you're going to get, you know, tenfold, 20-fold, 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
I appreciate you being in Muscogee last night along with Representative Shankland. I appreciate you so much. This is not a second or third or fourth time you've been on our show. And so I appreciate you being willing to come in front of the public and in front of the press. And so you're not here to defend anyone, but I want to make it clear that I make that clear, but I'm just so curious as a legislator, doesn't it just seem, well, I want to ask, what are your thoughts on the fact that if there's a problem at UW system, if there's a financial issue, if the feeling is that the Wisconsin idea is dead, I, as an alum of Richland and Platteville, would like our leaders at system to say, look, we have a problem. And just tell the Wisconsin people the truth and how are we going to fix this? The fact that Jay Rothman has never set foot in Richland County, never met with one elected official, never met with one citizen out there, it to me seems abhorrent for a public university to not want to be transparent and engage with the public.
Well, I think there's a huge problem, which is that, the legislature, let's be frank, for 15 years, we've had a legislature, and for a big part of that time, a governor that's been actively hostile to public higher education, and especially to the universities of Wisconsin system. And, in that dynamic, I understand why people kind of feel like any kind of engagement is treacherous and might be dangerous. And nobody wants to go someplace and get yelled at, right?
Sure.
Not even me. even though I'm willing to have it happen, it's not my goal. But I think that kind of the idea is like, well, if we just, let's try to do as little engagement as possible. I just think that's a failed approach. I mean, I think, if you've got a problem, it's not really Richland's, issue to solve, right? They didn't create the problem. This is a problem created by the legislature. But I do think that the incredible hostility has bred this kind of sense of, well, we're on our own. And so we're able to just make decisions in a vacuum. And we can't go to the legislature for help because all they do is hurt us.
I guess just to rip the Band-Aid off of it, just to say it bluntly, other than you and Representative Shankland and your three Democratic colleagues on the Joint Finance Committee, there's no one that seemingly, whether it's Howard Markline, the co-chair Republican who represents that area, Tony Kurtz, who represents that area, who is on JFC, lied to my face and said you no longer do 999s and there was no money to put into Richland, and yet voted for it in the 999, $3 million to help save Washington County, which, of course, the governor vetoed. So the Republicans are lying to me and don't want to come on this show and talk about it. On the other side, Governor Evers won't even respond to our emails and come on and talk about it and doesn't want to show up at Richland County. And the Democratic leadership seems to have nothing to say. Are you and Representative Shankland seemingly and your three colleagues on JFC on the Democratic side the only ones with courage these days?
Well, I think it's been a very frustrating time for legislative Democrats. And I mean, I will give credit both to the Senate Democratic Caucus and the Assembly Democratic Caucus, because I think, here you have folks who are true believers in public higher ed and understand the value, not just economic, but the cultural and community value of having access to higher education. And it feels like we're fighting on all fronts, and we want to support the universities of Wisconsin. I absolutely do. But I think it is wrong to close down these campuses. I think that the fight should not be how do we close these campuses, but how do we keep them open and how do we demand that the legislature give us what we need to survive and to serve the people of the state. I'm willing to fight that fight, but it would be better if everyone who was affected and who shared our values, which I think is the majority of the state, it's not just the people that work on these campuses or whose kids go there. I think everyone in the state, for the most part, would be with us, but we need to actually prioritize this. And we need to hold Democrats accountable, just like we've been holding Republicans accountable for all the horrific cuts that they made under Walker.
I guess what I'm really saying is, can you clone yourself, Senator? Can we have more Keldon Royces in the legislature?
Well, you know who would be great to do that is the scientists at the Universities of Wisconsin.
Let's hear from your colleague on the Assembly side. She was in Muscogee last night with you, Representative Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point. She actually offered some solutions in how we can actually get something done. Here was Representative Shanklin last night in Muscogee.
I continue to call for what is a, other states have done, it's called a Blue Ribbon Commission, a convening of state and federal experts to fund our higher education system fairly. So I have a bill as part of the Reaching Higher for Higher Education package that would first and foremost convene economists, labor market experts, higher education funding experts, and people who get it, who are on these two-year and four-year campuses that are being slashed and burned to the ground, to talk about how we can actually invest and really make that investment work for not only rural Wisconsin, but all of Wisconsin.
Senator Royce, your reaction?
I mean, these are solvable problems. And I think that's Representative Shanklin's point, right? There are smart people that can help us through changing economy and challenging demographics and, how do we help our higher ed systems better serve the state and better serve their students and run better? Like these are easily solvable issues, but you have to be willing to have people at the table and consider their ideas fairly. And I think, for a long time, the Republicans in the state legislature here have been really hostile and have been only interested in cutting funding and then maybe banning some books on the side. A lot of Democrats have just felt like, well, we're, gerrymandered into a minority. So what can we do other than put out press releases and say, please don't, and then you get this sort of downward spiral where these constituencies that are going to be deeply affected are not really activated in this fight until it's too late.
It seems to me that real thoughtful ideas right now are coming from the Democratic side of the aisle. As a former Republican who left the party in 2011, that wasn't always the case. You used to have people on the Republican side who, I mean, look at Tommy Thompson. He's a graduate of undergrad and of law school, as are you, of UW-Madison. You wouldn't find a bigger champion back in the day of this system than Tommy Thompson. And yet today, we're hard-pressed to find somebody on the Republican side willing. We have a $3 billion surplus right now, plus. And it's not just about throwing money at it, but having a thoughtful discussion. I think this idea of a blue ribbon a panel, having economists look at it, and quite frankly, Senator, what are your thoughts on having the legislative or the audit bureau do an audit top to bottom of system and saying, look, Jeff Brandt, the guy who sent this letter, making $202,000 a year in salary of taxpayer money. The governor makes like $152,000.
I don't even want to say how much I make.
I know. I mean, it's public records, like what, 50,000 to 60,000 with per diem. I mean, I think these salaries are atrocious.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that I really resist is the notion that somehow there is a an austerity way out of this issue, or if maybe we're in this kind of dire financial straits because universities offer too many majors, or they didn't admit enough kids, or there's too much financial aid, or too many administrators and too much student support. All of these things that really focus on the spending side or what the university can do to sort of trim and cut. And in fact, what we actually need to do is say, hey, it's the legislature that hasn't held up their bargain, right? We used to provide as a state, as taxpayers, almost half of the support for our public university system. And in my lifetime, that support has shrunk to now between 11 and 15%. And, that takes a significant toll. When you think about the fact that, higher education is still very people intensive. You need educated people to educate people. We're not just pumping out widgets and we can just make things more efficiently. It costs money. We have to do it. And the state's paying very little. And so, of course, there's going to be these financial strains. Focus on that.
Senator Royce, Keldon Royce from the Madison area, we thank you for having the courage and the openness to come on and talk to us. Thank you for being out with the public. If we could replicate you, that would be lovely. We need more people in government like you, Senator. Thank you so much for coming on.
Maybe you should run, Todd.
Did take after two times. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Senator Royce. Have a great day. Back with more after this, the Y'all Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Your chance to win a distribution deal, be a co-headliner, get discovered, and learn more about the music business is back with Wisconsin Dells Music Summit, May 10th and 11th at the Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells. Our celebrity panelists have worked with great musicians, producers, and artists like Drake, Adam Levine, Rihanna, Usher, Pussycat Dolls, and more. Learn key aspects from top industry professionals as they give once-in-a-lifetime advice to stay on top of the technology, laws, and trends in the music business. This event will include beat battles, ciphers, collective panel discussions, Q&A segments, and breakout rooms for masterclass teachings. You'll want to have your talent ready to share on an MP3, WAV file, or QR code for this resume-building opportunity. Ticket sales on Eventbrite February 1st. Packages include overnight stay at the Chula Vista, water park passes, and admission to the Wisconsin Dells Music Summit May 10th and 11th. Call 608-516-4354 or email wisconsindellsmusicsummit@gmail.com with questions.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 now before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from national state news updates as well as a weather update. And then coming across these airwaves, 2 to 4, our friend and colleague Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't want to miss it. She continues Earth Day week with her guests here at the Civic Media Radio Network. The Maggie Dawn Show, 2 until 4 this afternoon. How about that, Mr. Zalmers? I mean, that's what we need. More folks like Keldon Royce in elective office.
Absolutely. A lot of the same kind of energy that Tammy Baldwin brings in that she's willing to go out, and not just willing, but wants to go out and listen to what people need and then try to get it done.
Right. And to people, they're both Republican and Democratic side of the aisle that haven't come on our show yet, just look at that. I mean, I don't think, we ask questions, but we're not mean about it. And Senator Royce not afraid to take a tough question and just to answer it. That's all you want.
Right.
And she shows up. That's the thing. She drove an hour and a half, outside of her district to talk about something that affects everybody across
the
state of Wisconsin.
Where it is most harshly felt was first felt. So
if only the Republican elected officials, Howard Markwein and Tony Kurtz, had the same courage, maybe the campus wouldn't be closed. Anyway, I want to bring you a couple more cuts here from this meeting last night in Muscogee on the EW system. Here is, once again, State Representative Katrina Shanklin from the Stevens Point area talking last night about the human cost and her connection with higher ed in Wisconsin.
I also think the human cost of these job losses and the significance of losing a two-year campus and seeing significant cuts, 111 people at UW-Platteville, cannot be underestimated. We see all these market research papers on return on investment. What we don't see when campuses shut down is an economist saying, here's the cost to the people locally as well as to the state and the supply chains that they were investing in with their dollars they were making with their wages, right? So I'm concerned not only about this area, but I'm concerned about the state. I grew up in rural central Wisconsin, a small town of 1,000. The majority of the people that I went to high school with didn't go to college, but if they did, they had two options where the majority of them went. One was a two-year technical college. The other was a two-year university. And I had the privilege of attending that two-year university. It's now called UW-Stevens Point at Marathon County. It used to be called, or at Wausau, it used to be called UW-Marathon County. And I had some of the best courses I've ever had because of the student-to-teacher ratio, right? And not only did I have that, but it was the cheapest, most affordable way to get those credits I needed for when I graduated. And so I know this is not just about access. When we shut down campuses, there are many people, probably hundreds, who will not go to a campus further away because of a job, a caregiving obligation, transportation issues, you name it, right? There's that. There's also the cost. right? So taking away two-year campuses that tend to be more affordable, and over time, we're seeing another tuition increase happening. Right now, I think it's about 3.75% that it's being slated. Over time, what I fear is that people are going to be priced out of higher education altogether.
State Representative Katrina Shanklin at this forum last night, public forum in Muscogee, Wisconsin, talking about the human cost of shutting these campuses. And this is what we need. More people who actually went to and graduated from our two-year schools who understand it, who could represent all of Wisconsin, including rural Wisconsin. And speaking of that, my former boss, Dale Schultz, former senator, Republican from Southwest Wisconsin, who represented the area, former majority leader, former chair of the Higher Ed Committee in the state Senate, was also there last night. And he beat up a little bit on his Republican counterparts, Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz, for not showing up, for not being there. But he was bipartisan in his anger and effusive of his praise for people who actually get things done.
Now, I spent over 30 years in the legislature, traditionally had one of the highest vote polls, and so I think I have a pretty good idea how the process should work. And you should listen to people. But it wasn't just those legislators. We tried to get a hold of the governor, and we were shut out, didn't make an appearance. We tried to get a hold of the president of the system. He didn't make an appearance. He decided he was going to stiff arm Richland County and the surrounding area here. We tried to go to the Board of Regents, and we were stiff armed. None of them came out here to visit. Now, what happened to what I think, and I think most people think, is a great university? And is it any wonder that you have a general feeling like this gentleman up here that somehow or another we don't matter? Well, we should matter. We deserve nice things out here. You know,
that's right.
There's some signs for some of us who are involved in a bipartisan effort, Richland Center and in the surrounding area, to engage our legislators. And we are delighted that you are here. We really are. Yeah, but we need to have better representation. But I will tell you one thing. The only people who responded to us at all were the Democratic members of the Joint Finance Committee, who said yes, they would provide their votes to prevent the closing of Richland Center. Now, when you have a chair of finance and another member of finance, if you can't find two additional people, shame on you. That's legislative malpractice. This didn't have to happen. You're exactly right. It is a plan, a deeper, bigger plan to get rid of higher education and to dumb down the populace.
Former State Senator Dale Schultz talking last night at the public forum. He's absolutely right off the text line. WMDX saying, excellent topic and program today. We appreciate that question. What are the reasons, origins, Republican disdain for higher education? Don't have time to get into it today. We will. We have before. The short answer is they just don't want people to be educated on ideas so that they can feed you their narrative. I mean, I saw it. I was a part of it. I was in the room. I want to finish from former State Senator Tim Cullen's book called Disassembled, A Native Son of Janesville and General Motors, A Story of Grit, Race, Gender, and Wishful Thinking on What It Means for Americans. Tim Cullen wrote this. In terms of the General Motors plant closing in Janesville, he says, I overestimated both GM's financial vigor and its commitment to the longstanding Janesville plant. GM announced it would close the plant by 2010. The timeline tempered that unwelcome news. We had 18 months to change their mind. What blew up the world? New technology, globalization, and gas prices. He says, if Detroit management did come to Janesville, it was to meet with the local management staff and then leave town. He says after the plant closed, it was a period of grief. Leverage political power, secure a solid commitment, immobility, warning signs, and don't be naive. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Plant closures in Janesville, campus closures around the state. They're not dissimilar. Keep banging your drum.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX,
The Maggie Dawn Show.
In her next episode, Maggie addresses all the debauchery coming out of the Trump trial. Sleeping? Farting? What else could happen live?
weekdays 2 till 4 p.m.
Small business owners, we know tackling your to-do list can sometimes feel like going 12 rounds against a heavyweight champ. Except that heavyweight's gloves are made of something hard, like diamonds. So when a new to-do pops up, you're like, I can't. I'm boxing my diamond boxing glove-wearing heavyweight champ of a to-do list. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy with over 30 customizable coverage options, so you can finally land a knockout blow. See if you can save on business insurance in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers.
You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.